As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Give it to me!
Shoot it, MJ!
Give me some time! Oh, no!
MJ, what are you doing?
You know I'm bad!
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, July 3rd, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And last but not least, over yonder, right over there, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on YouTube. Early this morning, we hit over 80,000 subs. So thank you. Keep hitting the like button. Make sure you subscribed. Share the show with your friends. And if you're in Vegas later this week, because we're jumping on a plane on Wednesday, on Saturday at the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand at 4 p.m. local time, Saturday, July 8th, it's a little No Dunks / Athletic NBA show meet and greet. You can shake my hand and Andrew Schleck's hand at the exact same time. So come hang out. And,
I can't wait to meet Zach Harper.
You've never met what? Zach Harper? What are you talking about?
Haven't I?
Probably.
You've been in the same room as
I would
him,
be
that's
shocked
sure.
if
We've
you
We've been going to the same events for 12 years.
Yeah,
it's true. I feel like I've never met him. I mean,
it's possible that you've never looked him in the eye and shook his hand and
you
said,
remember.
Hey,
you
grade this handshake. Yeah. That's a good little trade grade Zach Harper joke there for you Athletic subscribers. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get one. Anyway, 4 o'clock Vegas time there at the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand. I can't wait. I'm excited. Doesn't feel like we're really going to Vegas in a couple days, if I'm being honest. But here we are.
Yeah. It's a lot of great icebreakers there as well. There's sports on the board as well. You know, you can just talk sports in the MGM Sportsbook room.
Yeah, well, Saturday
that
night.
What are you going to do? Just check the sports out.
You like that line?
Here's what I'm going to say. Yeah, what do you think about that UFC line? Because there's a fight on that night or an event on that
there
night.
There is. I mean, there's going to be horse racing on the board, I'm sure.
Well, hopefully.
Horses will
easy
be
can story.
How about summer league lines? Those will be on the board.
How do they make those?
Crazy.
Is Jordan Hood Schifino playing? It's going to be an extra half point for the Lakers.
All right, look, let's get into it here. Lots to talk about. We're going to do a bit of a free agency roundup. But let's give you the latest on Lillard. On Saturday morning, Blazers star Damian Lillard finally requested a trade. We jumped in the yard. We dropped the emergency podcast. Thanks, everybody that joined us live or listened or watched it later. Well, later that day, Portland GM Joe Cronin, he dropped a statement. And I will read it to you all. Quote, "We have been clear that we want Dame here, but he notified us today he wants out and he'd prefer to play someplace else. What has not changed for us is that we're committed to winning, and we are going to do what's best for the team in pursuit of that goal." End quote. Though, Joe may have been lying there. Maybe Dame as well. We're hearing reports, as we sort of talked about and predicted, TK. Maybe they agreed to moving off of Lillard, or obviously him asking for a trade, earlier in the week, on Monday, and they just sat on it for a little while. Anyway, that's the Blazers GM Joe Cronin's statement, and we can get into, obviously, trade hypotheticals and whether it's only to Miami or is it one of these other teams. We got Chris Haynes here saying the Clippers, the Wolves, the Celtics, and the Pelicans are all among teams to reach out about a potential Damian Lillard trade. So how's this going to go down? Let's talk through this. Does it end with Damian Lillard in Miami, or is there any possibility after thinking about it for a couple days, Trey, that, okay, maybe Joe Cronin and the Blazers will do what's best for them and get a better trade package, but does that even actually exist? What are your thoughts?
Well, that's what Joey's saying, isn't it? We're going to do what's best for the team in pursuit of that goal. I thought Tim Bontemps made a pretty good point on the Hoop Collective podcast that if Portland liked Miami's deal, the deal would probably be done. That's where Damian Lillard wants to go. We've kind of known what the offer is going to be from Miami for a long time here, likely led by Tyler Hero as the main piece. Coming back, you can throw in a Kyle Lowry, you can throw in a Duncan Robinson. But as everybody's been saying, you don't really need Tyler Hero if you're the Portland Trail Blazers. You've got a young guard in Scoot Henderson, who's going to be the franchise going forward. You've got a big deal in Anfernee Simons, who's basically a Tyler Hero type player. And you've got Shaedon Sharpe, who is a perimeter player as well. So it doesn't totally make sense to bring in Hero, which therefore makes you think maybe they're looking for a way to expand this kind of thing. And maybe Portland is trying to figure out a way to get off the Yusuf Nurkic deal, which would be another big win for them if they can somehow figure out a way to get his big contract into this trade here. John Hollinger made a whole bunch of sense of the CBA and all of the trade possibilities they've got here. They could easily do a three-teamer with OKC that ends up with Nurkic going to Miami. Duncan Robinson somehow ends up in Portland. But it feels like that if the Blazers wanted to get done this Miami Heat deal as it is, just a one-for-one, team-for-team deal, it could be done. But as people have said, they should be looking for a better and bigger package. So it makes sense that the Blazers are doing that, and they should take their time. There ain't any real rush to trade Damian Lillard. The packages have been out there for a long time, and I guess the more you posture and say we're getting calls from other teams, maybe somebody actually believes it.
Yeah, maybe somebody juices it a little bit. I think Tyler Hero's part of this deal, but then gets rerouted somewhere else for them just to pick up another couple assets.
Right, right.
It could be the Brooklyn Nets. Hey, take Tyler Hero, give us a pick and Spencer Dinwiddie or something to that effect. And then the Nets are looking like a Hero Bridges, Cam Johnson, Claxton team. I just think, yeah, the framework is probably already there because this Miami Heat deal, even if it doesn't wow you when you're comparing it to a top 75 player, at this point, it's probably the best package available. But I think, yeah, they're just trying to juice it, get a third team involved and get Hero moving, who already removed Miami Heat guard from his Twitter profile this weekend. Mm. And he changed his header from the Heat header. Mm. So he also must have watched Tiny Desk and Juvenile do his thing because his profile reads slow motion. So, yeah, that's the Tyler Hero breakdown, but I think he's I think he probably knows. But, yeah, we've if Joe Cronin did find out last Monday and just slow play this so he could get Jeremy Grant to sign, I mean, I don't really get that. But I guess that's a possibility. And why I guess we're just waiting it out. I mean, why wouldn't he want to beat the James Harden dealers to the punch here? Mm. You know, why wouldn't he just make it happen? Maybe they did find out this weekend. Maybe he's only had 48 hours because it's kind of confusing if it is just going to be Tyler Hero, a couple picks, and Duncan Robinson, because we've known that for a while. It was the Bradley Beal package, essentially.
Pretty damn close. Let's throw up that board, actually, JD, when you're talking just Heat, Blazers, and Lillard going to Miami, and what, in theory, will be coming back, though these guys bring up a good point. Yeah, is Hero, move to a third team if they're folded in? But it's Tyler Hero. It's probably Lowry in his expiring deal, or it's Duncan Robinson, because you need some money in here, obviously, to match the Lillard contract along with Hero. Then it's Jovic and or Jaime Jaquez Jr., though I will note, he can't be traded now because 30 days need to pass since he was signed as a rookie. He'll be eligible to be traded after July 31st, excuse me, but there is that little wrinkle. And then you see the picks there. Currently, they could offer 2028 and 2030 first-round picks and then a 29 pick swap. But I will counter your why hasn't this happened then, yet. And maybe it's just like, yeah, let's just try and get better deals from some of these other teams. When you look at the actual draft picks, a lot of people pointed this out. Miami currently owes a 2025 first-round pick to OKC, which then takes all of their first-round picks between 24 and 27 off the table due to a combination of protections and obviously the Stepien rule. But if both sides agree, talking the Heat and Thunder here, to simply making that pick an unprotected 2026 selection, which they could, the Heat would then be able to give away three first-round picks, 24, 28, and 30, along with pick swaps in 25, 27, and 29. I think you're then starting to get to a much more enticing package for Portland in terms of draft capital. If we're talking, you know, three first-round picks, potentially three swaps, and then, you know, the Hero and these other young players. I think maybe, I'm just, you know, spitballing here, maybe that's why nothing has happened. Maybe they're waiting for, Portland wisely is saying, we want more picks.
Yeah.
We know you can get them, because OKC, I don't know why they would counter that. Oh, you're going to give us an unprotected 26? Okay, sure. They could get there. And then I think maybe we do have ultimately Dame going to Miami, which I 100% believe is going to happen anyway. Because these other teams, like, there's talk all of a sudden about the Jazz having an enticing package. Yeah, but what about the part where, like, they want to, like, you know, thank Damian Lillard for his services for 11 years and not just send him anywhere? And I'm not saying it just has to be Miami, but do you think they really, after all of this, I love you, you love me, are just going to turn around and send him to, like, wherever? And I'm not saying Utah's bad. Like, hell, they'd have a nice little young team. I just don't buy that. I think they are trying to, like, obviously improve their future as a franchise, but also, like, get the guy to sort of where he might want to go as a bit of a thank you. That's what I think. You can argue whether they need to at all or whether they should, but I think that's relationships in the NBA.
Yes, exactly. I think that Miami is the spot. Probably the best move would be Utah, because they have so many picks. They have so many young players you could still talk yourself into, and Utah isn't the worst possible location for Damian Lillard.
No.
He was just, like, celebrated in Utah at the All-Star break. Yeah. He played his college basketball in Utah. It was a huge deal that he won the three-point contest there. But yeah, OKC and Miami have already done a trade this summer, the Victor Oladipo trade. So it's wouldn't be surprising if they roll the protections thing into that and unearth another pick. Because then if you trade 24 pick, 28, 30, and the pick swap, you can at least say, hey, we're getting four first-round picks here. So that's pretty enticing. The other one that's picking up a lot of steam, John Hollinger pitched, much like Tass was, a three-teamer that would involve James Harden and the Sixers and the Clippers as well. That would return Tyrese Maxey to Portland. People are fired up about Portland maybe getting Tyrese Maxey. How different is that than Tyler Hero?
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like, why is that small guard who scores a bunch okay, but Tyler Hero isn't? I don't know. Maybe because Maxey would have a little bit more trade value on the flip side, since he's not starting a big contract yet. Yeah. But you could also talk yourself into Hero being valuable because he's already on that long contract going forward. So I don't know. All of the contenders that really want Damian Lillard as the top, as the piece to push him over the top, they've all traded all of their picks at this point, basically until 28 or 30.
Yeah.
So that's why it feels like this Miami one's going down, because I'm not sure if those other contenders have the pieces here. As far as, like, Tyler Hero versus Tyrese Maxey, it's just, like, the potential, I think, because they're both good players, but Maxey hasn't been unleashed quite yet. It's like the draft picks going back to Portland. Once you make a draft pick, it's not as sexy.
That's right? True.
Jaime Jaquez, good player. But it's not as sexy as the words first round pick.
You could get anybody with the 18th pick.
Anybody.
Even Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah. That's right. So pretty funny. But there's going to be a third team, I think. Who that third team is, TBD. Can't wait.
Maybe we got to get all the GMs out in Vegas just so they can all talk. Maybe they'll come to the meet and greet. Make the trade go down on Saturday, 4:00. Come on. Open invite to all the GMs to come out to the Athletic and No Dunks meet and greet there. I've heard and read from a couple different podcasts and, like, websites now that plenty of teams could talk themselves in to championship contention with Lillard at the helm. And I can't get to too many teams where it's, like, first off, realistic, and, like, those teams that would acquire him are suddenly there. Like, we already talked about the Nets. It doesn't even feel like if the Nets acquired Damian Lillard and obviously kept Bridges and Cam Johnson, they're not a championship contender. Like, they're still, they're better, but they're not in that, in that sort of tier. So who else is it? It's like, okay, the Celtics, I guess you could convince yourself. Yeah. Now, it would take Jaylen Brown to make that happen, but of course, they're already a championship contender. The Clippers, I guess. You know, if they acquired Damian Lillard and they got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and it's like, okay, if they stay healthy, yeah. Maybe the Sixers?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then who? Besides the Heat. It's like, I can't think, like, the Nuggets are not trading for him. The Lakers are not trading for him. Yeah, the Grizzlies are not. The Knicks are probably not. I guess they could.
They're not
but
a championship team if they
yeah. can. Cavs, no. It's like, there's nobody else. The Raptors, no. So it's like three teams. And even all those other teams, like, what I'm getting at here, man, I will be shocked if it's not Miami. Yeah, you hear Pelicans, so what's that? That's Zion? Is that the move? Remember
I don't
that?
Know. Lillard and McCollum, you think he could work?
Exactly. So we'll just see. We'll wait this out. Do you have any more thoughts on Harden, though? Just to pivot quickly to that. Since we've talked about it a little bit on the pod last week. But it hasn't been a lot, you know, more rumors or anything. It was like the Clippers. And then it's sort of nothing since. It's just like whether or not, I guess, the Clippers would trade Terrence Mann in a deal. And maybe Norm Powell.
It seems like that's the destination, just the package or they're thinking about. I don't know. Yeah, it's not as sexy anymore to me. That's possible that Dame gets to Philadelphia. That's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Harden gets to the Clippers. And then those two teams just got to throw everything
right
at Portland.
You believe?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. But I think the reason we're not hearing as much news about Harden is because the Lillard deal has to get done first. Maybe it will include Harden, but Lillard on a longer contract as a younger guy with a better rep, he's going to be the more in-demand trade package right now. So if you're calling anybody, you're calling Joe Cronin before you're calling Daryl Morey, I do believe.
All right, well, let's start talking a little bit about free agency because we obviously did a show on Friday night, got to react to all of the day one reported signings, but a lot has happened since then. And I want to start with the Rockets, just looking at them as an entire entity here because they did a lot. Obviously, they got Van Vliet on Friday night, 3 years, $130 million. Bet on yourself, Van Vliet got the bag. But they weren't done, the Rockets. They got Dylan Brooks, 4 years, $80 million. That surprised some people. Jock Landell, 4 years, $32 million, though I believe only the first year is guaranteed, so maybe not as crazy. Jeff Green, coming from the Nuggets, another vet there, 1 year, $6 million. And then going out, Kenyon Martin Jr. traded to the Clips. Ty Washington Jr. and Garuba traded to the Hawks. Josh Christopher traded to the Grizz. The Rockets traded four recent draft picks, including three first-rounders, to help clear some money here. And they obviously get a couple of their guys. Sounded like they really wanted Brook Lopez. Maybe they thought they even had him, and then Brook ultimately went back to the Bucks on a hell of a payday. But what do you think about what Houston did here over these last couple of days?
Yeah, they had well over $60 million going into free agency. They walked in, and they said, hey, Fred, we want you to be our number one acquisition. They paid him very handsomely. I think that's a great acquisition when you're talking about the locker room and what he's going to do for everybody in the locker room. I think it's great. I do think the two-year max that was first proposed, way better for the Rockets than the third year. But I guess that's the cost of doing business. And the Raptors also wanted him back. But that third year is going to get a little complicated. The Dylan Brooks thing is super confusing. Who are they bidding against? 4 year, $80 million deal. All guaranteed. No options. Not even a partial guarantee or anything. Just $80 million for Dylan Brooks for a guy who was banished from his team. It's just a little surprising. That's a heck of a lot of money. Again, I don't know who they're competing against. When you look at that Jock Landale contract that they handed out, first year guaranteed of only 4 years, of the 4 years. Why couldn't it be something a little more similar to that? Because who is offering Dylan Brooks, you know, 3 for $60? I mean, anyone? Anybody in the National Basketball Association? I know he just made a defensive, all defensive team.
All defense this year.
Yeah, which seems like a billion years ago. I had to go check that. Defense, this guy? Yeah. But he is a very competent player. But how is he going to work in that locker room? that's not a guaranteed lock that he's going to help out everybody for year after year after year. I know he does bring the confidence and all that, but we just saw what happened with Memphis. So I think that contract is kind of surprising. I know that they looked at next year's free agency and they've got a, there's a lot of other teams that are going to be offering other players money. So they won't have the opportunity next year. So they're overpaying, but that's just a heck of an overpay. And you bring in Jeff Green, who also got a big paycheck for himself leaving Denver, who should help that locker room. So all in all, I think the players are right. I just think some of the years are going to be a little bit hampering down the road when they have to pay Jalen Green and Şengün and Jabari Smith and others. There's a lot to pay. But the Fred signing, you know, besides the money, I know we nerded out. That's a good guy to have handling the ball.
Yeah, the Brooks thing is fascinating because you'd have to fact check me on this, but I believe at the time of the signing, the Spurs were the only other team with significant cap space. Everyone else, I think, was potentially bidding for Dylan Brooks if they were even in the running and even wanted him, with the mid-level exception, right? So we're talking like that $12, $13 million here. We knew the Grizzlies weren't bringing him back with Bird rights.
Under
so
no circumstances.
It was like, yeah, you brought up like, who were they bidding against? He got a great deal here. Look, it is a lot of money for him. I like what the Rockets did, though, as our lights go out. The lights are not a fan of the Rockets' moves as it shits here and starts to flicker. Because the Rockets have just decided, okay, enough summer camp. That's all we were doing here with all these kids. And, you know, no one held accountable. The kids were running the camp. They had taken control. We got to get some adult supervision in here. It's Van Vliet. It is Brooks to an extent. Obviously, like...
Is it Brooks?
Well, I think it is.
He was leading the dance parties for the Grizzlies.
And so what? All I saw were the Grizzlies winning 50-plus games every year. He was a part of that team. Like, he may eat a piece of humble pie here after how it ended in Memphis, right? And with the LeBron incident and all that. He still at least gives a shit and has contributed to winning basketball. So I think it's going to work out fine. The money is big at the end. And then obviously Jeff Van Green is just another sort of...
Jeff Van Green.
Sorry, Jeff Green.
The notorious JVG himself.
Yeah, I got
Jeff
JVG.
Van Greendy.
those three guys, Van Vliet, obviously Brooks, and then Green. I mean, this is going to help this team actually just help these players on their team. Learn how to win.
Don't forget the jock.
Sure, Jock Landale. Yeah, okay. I don't care about him at all. Honestly,
well,
fine.
Dylan Brooks, is he going to be a part of the solution? That's not a guarantee, but they just guaranteed 4 years, $80 million.
I think Udoka wanted a Marcus Smart, and he's like, give me the, you know, a similar version. There's some similarities. Marcus Smart, you know, dyeing his hair green. I guess Dylan Brooks wearing his Stone Cold Steve Austin vest and stuff like that. They're characters, but they're hard-nosed guys that actually give a shit and play defense and want to win. So I actually don't mind it.
This is basically Bruce Brown all over again. They said Dylan Brooks on the mid-level exception, nobody's complaining about that, and he would be helpful to teams. But if you go twice the mid-level exception for 4 years, he will sign with your team. The Rockets are better. They probably won't be the worst team in the Western Conference this season. They'll be second or third worst team, but they're coming from 17, 20, and 22 wins. So they're going to get some more toughness. They're going to get some more complaining here, but really, this is what cap space gets you in 2023. John Hollinger had a great article over there at The Athletic. Subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks. Basically, nobody signs for cap space anymore. So if you have a lot of money, you got to spend it. And what the Rockets got here was not dissimilar to the 2010 Nets. Back when they cleared a whole bunch of cap space for that big free agency season, they had to spend it eventually. They got Travis Outlaw, Anthony Morrow, Johan Petro, and Jordan Farmar. All guys signing their biggest contracts of their career because they needed some veteran help. It helped. They went from 12 wins to 24 wins, and then they traded all those guys for Joe Johnson. So that's kind of what I think this is. These are just some guys. I mean, like,
those are Van Vliet and Brooks are much better than those four shitty Nets players you named. Though. I mean, they're at least one's an all-star. One does make an all-defensive
team. Imagine Van Vliet didn't win a championship for the Raptors and Dylan Brooks wasn't Canadian, though.
Come on.
He's a homer.
So you're completely off Dylan Brooks being a contributing player. You thought he should go play in China with the Shanghai Sharks?
But I'm just saying, what's he going to do for the Rockets? They're going to win 28 games this season? 30 games this season? I that's what I'm saying. You got to pay the money. You got to pay the money out. Like, I'm sure Anthony Morrow shot 40% from three one of those years with the Nets, you know? Like, good players. They got to go play somewhere. Dylan Brooks was willing to take the money because he needs to rehab his image around the league and kind of prove that he can be a solid veteran rather than a detrimental veteran.
It's just confusing how long they signed them for. It would have been nice for Fred and Dylan Brooks, in my opinion, if you're in the Rockets front office, to shepherd these guys the next 2 years to the third year of glory, hopefully. Hopefully, Jamari Smith and Jalen Green have found their way, along with guys like Cam Whitmore. They are so deep with young players. I don't really like Dylan Brooks in year three and year four taking shots from these guys. I mean, is he gonna overshoot these first couple years? I mean, I just don't understand these long guarantees. Yes, you got cap room, you got to spend it, but you're not necessarily gonna have cap room in the third year of these contracts because there's going to be so many guys coming up for deals after 2 years on your team. So that's the confusing part to me. It was confusing seeing Dylan Brooks as an all defense guy this year, and I guess, yeah, Udoka definitely sees some smart similarities, sure, but you also got that in Fred VanVleet. I mean, he is the guy. The Dylan Brooks thing was, it's a little surprising, but hopefully Jeff can hold it down as well. Jeff Green.
Jeff. I wish he was going to a different team. Because he's already been a Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
Not that exciting. Yeah.
That's a good point.
They overpaid for him, too. I mean, he is going to help, but that $6 million,
I'm
they
not
paid
disagreeing
a lot.
With you guys. They overpaid for all three of those guys. Four, if probably we include Jock, even though it's only, you know, the first year guaranteed. It's because they want to establish an identity, and they knew they were going to have to, like, pay through the freaking teeth for it. But I think they have one. I think the good thing about VanVleet and Brooks, these are big deals. My gut says those two guys are not like, got the bag, I'm just going to kick back now and just enjoy my time in Houston, see you at the strip club, going to have the time of my life. I feel like those two specifically are not wired that way. It's more of like, if anything, in Dylan Brooks' case, and maybe in VanVleet, it's a bit of like, I hear what everybody's saying. I'll use this as motivation, a bit of an F you. You think I'm sort of like overpaid or, you know, shouldn't even be in the league in Brooks' case. I think that will just set an identity that this team desperately needs. They've been garbage for three straight years. Yeah, they've got some nice draft picks. It didn't result in anything. No. You can barely even tell me, like, you're like, whoa, that person really got better. Like, that was what they started getting concerned about, I think. Their picks in Jalen Green and Şengün, they're like, ooh, are they stagnating here? Like, are they not really growing maybe at the rate we want them to?
But speaking of stagnating, we've seen the best of Fred VanVleet. We've seen the best of Dylan Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
How many more wins are they going to add to Trey's
point? I think they're going to add 10 wins. And I think that for them, like you just went through, what were the 17s and the 20s?
They're coming off 22 wins.
Yeah.
Okay, so 32 wins.
So like for them, they're definitely at like what we've seen at the Orlando Magic stages here the last couple of years. Like, yeah, 35 wins is an incredible year for them next year. Like if they're between 30 and 35, that's a good year probably.
Yeah. The thing is, to me, they just pay them for too long. We don't know about Fred's health a few years from now, and we don't know about Dylan Brooks. His bod, when you're talking about that stone cold bod, yeah, he may work every day, but it doesn't look like he works when you look at the muscularity on that bod. Anyway,
what?
Good luck. I hope it all works.
Yeah.
He's not a muscle guy just because he wears a muscle shirt.
I didn't say he was.
Okay.
You did.
Okay. Yeah, well, you said what? It's easy. He doesn't have muscles.
I was confused about the muscular definition on Brooks and how that impacted his contract.
Impacts his work ethic. We just don't know if he's going to be that guy for 4 years. I mean, that's who knows.
Let's talk about the Lakers. They were very busy in free agency. Day one, just to remind you, they re-signed Rui Hachimura, 3 years, $51 million. They got Gabe Vincent from the Heat, 3 years, $33 million. Torian Prince. People were high on this one, scooping him up for $4.5 million there, just a one-year deal. Cam Reddish is on the Lakers, 2 years, $4.6 million, former lottery pick there. And then day two, they weren't done. Austin Reeves, 4 years, $56 million. Looks like a bit of a steal when you're talking money. D'Angelo Russell's back, 2 years, $37 million. And then Jackson Hayes from the Pelicans is headed to L.A., 2 years, $4.6 million. Trey, let's start with you. You know, what type of grade are you giving the Lakers free agency of the last couple of days?
I'll give them a nice solid B. I think Rob Pelinka has been cooking a little bit here, basically since the trade deadline. I mean, and the big turning Russell Westbrook into a team that makes sense. They've kind of just gone back to where they were at after the 2020 championship when it seemed like, yeah, we're just going to bring back some athletic guys, some defenders. Hopefully they can hit some shots from the outside. What works around LeBron and AD? And that's kind of where they're at right now. I feel like Rui Hachimura, probably a little bit overpaid. But if he's the playoff Rui that we saw, if he's a 40% three-point shooter, I think he shot 48% in the playoffs this season. That seems unlikely, but you would like him at this deal is, what, 17 mil? If he shoots 30% from three, like he did when he was at Washington, then you're fretting a little bit here. But I think it makes up for it because Austin Reeves only making 4 years, $56 million. Coming into the offseason, there was a lot of talk about if a team would kind of make the Lakers really overpay for him, drop a four-year, $100 million deal on him. Instead, they're getting him at 56 because there was no other suitors out there. D'Angelo Russell, that's kind of a big deal, $18.5 million, but as much as the Lakers hate it, you got to still play during the regular season. He will help them at least during the regular season, 18.5 for a starting point guard. I think that's fair. So I think they're just doing a good job of keeping the players that worked around LeBron and AD and then taking some swings on some guys who maybe hit. Not all of them are going to hit. Not Torian Prince and Cam Reddish aren't going to both suddenly be incredible players. But if like one of Gabe Vincent, Jackson Hayes, Prince, or Reddish hits,
right,
then they did it exactly right.
I think it's totally acceptable to talk about the Lakers again. I mean, obviously they're a conference finalist, but you know, 12 months ago, 8 months ago, we were just hopeful that this team somehow came together, and I think they even improved after coming together this postseason. They got D'Angelo Russell back for cheaper, far cheaper. So you replace Dennis Schroeder with Gabe Vincent, who you can see being great. You can see him replacing D'Angelo Russell as the starting point guard at times, if need be, in the postseason. You can see him being the Mario Chalmers and hitting shots. I mean, he was great with, what was it, 5 20-point games this playoffs. Like, he can help big time. They replaced Troy Brown with Torian Prince. Maybe that's an upgrade. Who knows? Jackson Hayes, can he be a Birdman from LeBron's days? Like, it's a possibility. Will it happen? Who knows? Cam Reddish. An interesting one there. Yeah, that's all potential. They haven't signed Lonnie Walker back quite yet, but he's kind of filling that.
Lonnie Walker's going to the Nets.
Oh, has he? Oh, yeah, he snuck in there, to the Nets. So that's it. Yeah, I think that could be a loss because Lonnie Walker did help. He did win a playoff game there. Will Cam Reddish do the same? It's a clutch signing there. It's a potential signing for him, 2 years, 6.4. So all in all, yeah, they got better. And you have to believe in Austin Reeves 100% that he's going to get better. That's going to be a great contract.
Oh my
that
God.
Dude is a baller. He is only getting better. And the Rui, he played well there, so you got to think that that's a decent deal for him as well. If he continues to be Laker Rui.
Well, they need Rui to just play well in the games he starts when LeBron sits, when he misses, as he probably should at this point of his career, misses, 30 games due to, back-to-back situations and little ankle injury here. Okay, Rui, you're in there alongside Anthony Davis. Try and do your best LeBron facsimile. Austin Reeves, that's an awesome deal. I can't believe that's what they ultimately got him for. I thought that was a typo when it came across Twitter. He is easily going to outperform that contract. He already showed in the playoffs. He was averaging 17 points per game as, the number three scorer on the team. He's got some playmaking chops. He plays hard on D. His shooting splits in the playoffs, 46%, 44 from deep. He chipped in 5 boards and 5 assists, if we round up a little bit. 17, 5, and 5 for a guy with good efficiency that gives a damn on the defensive end, and that has already sort of shown at least he can do it through a playoff run. That should be more than what he just got. Like, that feels to me like a $20 million player right there. I mean, we're arguing about Dylan Brooks being 4 for 80. That should be what Reeves is, right? But they just scored on this one. That no one else wanted to put them in a tough spot and throw more money at Austin Reeves. Yeah. So
they paid him all that they could under the CBA.
Right.
Gave him a trade kicker. If you get traded, you get that bonus. They gave him a player option for the last year. They did all they could. Surprising that some team didn't just sign him and have a $100 million player on their roster potentially. Mm.
Would have been the Rockets or Spurs, I guess.
Yeah,
Spurs, and a lot of people thought.
Yeah,
maybe.
Spurs would have been the one because the Rockets got, like we've talked about, a lot of young guys. I guess if you were wanting to criticize the Lakers, you would say they completely overpaid for playoff performances here. Gabe Vincent was a 33% shooter from the field during the regular season, caught fire in the playoffs. Reeves had a really good after the trade deadline, was great in the playoffs as well, still on his way up during the season. Rui Hachimura, like we've talked about, the guy was salary dumped at the trade deadline. So there's a chance that none of these pay off, or there's a chance that all three of these guys are awesome in the playoffs again, and Rob Pelinka looks like a genius.
Yep.
Yeah, I think they just play off LeBron and AD and continue their spots. Like, Gabe Vincent, totally true. He was below average in the regular season, somehow like every Miami Heat player, woke up in the postseason. But I think if you're getting passes fired to you from Bron and AD, I think he'll be great. Just don't dribble anymore. I mean, not as much. And that's why, yeah, Hachimura was awesome as well. So, yeah, it all depends if LeBron is still healthy, and why wouldn't he be for most of the year in the playoffs?
Do you think the Lakers did enough here over the last couple of days, and then especially when you compare to the Nuggets losing a couple of their key bench contributors in Bruce Brown and Jeff Green, though I guess they brought in Justin Holiday. Do you think the Lakers have done enough to, like, really challenge Denver in another potential playoff series?
No. I think Denver is still the clear favorite in the Western Conference, but I think the Lakers are right there with Phoenix in the second tier of wanting to make the conference finals. We'll take our shot against Denver.
What do you think?
Yeah, totally the same. Nuggets have to be the favorite.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Money men, let's talk about the guys that got paid. Nice little graphic here from our guy Jerome. Tyrese Halliburton, 5 years, $260 million max deal from the Pacers. LaMelo Ball, same thing from the Hornets, 5 years, $260. The Grizzlies, they gave a max to Desmond Bane. It's 5 years, $207 million. My goodness. And then the Kings, we included it here. Not a max, but damn near close. They did a renegotiation and extension with him. 5 years, $217 million is what Sabonis is going to be making. Any of those guys you want to talk about and the deals they signed, Taz?
Well, I think the Pacers are going to be everyone's hot pick for the surprise team in the Eastern Conference. I guess Tyrese Halliburton is a guy that people love and love to watch play and love to play with. And they also got Obi Toppin from the New York Knicks. So they are going to be good in transition. Obi Toppin is going to catch a lot of oops. But we'll see. He hasn't been able to stay on the floor, specifically Obi Toppin. I mean, he hasn't played more than 17 minutes per game through his 3 years because he's been a liability defensively. So they get Tyrese Halliburton. You sign him, obviously. Great centerpiece. But they were below average last year on both sides of the ball. And him, along with the Bruce Brown signing, the Jairus Walker draft pick to go along with Halliburton, Mathurin, Buddy Hield, Miles Turner, a scrappy TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin. They're going to be the pick. They're going to be the sexy pick.
You think the pick that was obviously out of the playoffs to jump up into a play-in?
People will look and say, why can't they be the Kings type thing? But they've got to climb a lot. I'm not sure if they can't. But they should be a play-in team, and they should be exciting.
You like the moves. Bruce Brown, obviously getting Toppin. You're, of course, going to give the money to Halliburton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they really moves the needle that much. It depends if Mathurin's great. So they should jump, but how much? TBD.
Any thoughts on any of those money men?
Well, Halliburton's 24 and LaMelo is 22. So no complaints on those gigantic deals. People were questioning Desmond Bane getting a $200 million, but he's one of the best shooters in the league. And I mean, he's coming off his rookie deal. Those guys always get maxes. He's part of the core there in Memphis. So I guess the biggest question mark is definitely Domantas Sabonis. He'll be 28 at the end of this season. So the Kings are paying for Sabonis through his prime.
Yeah.
which I think is fair. He just had an all-NBA season. The Kings are on the upswing. He fits perfect next to Fox, who they've already got on a deal. So it makes sense. They might regret it towards the end of it when he's, you know, 32 years old and they're looking for somebody else. They might stall out at just a good team in the Western Conference. And then you got two huge deals and who knows what Sabonis's trade deadline or trade value looks like as time goes on. But I mean, Sacramento doesn't get a ton of free agents. So they've got a guy in his prime who's an all-NBA player. I think it's fair paying him this.
Oh, yeah. I would add to that, the guy played with a broken hand. Like, you know, respect. He could have easily been like, no, my hand's broken. I gotta sit this one out, man. And he did it. And he tried to get Sacramento into their first postseason in a long, long time. And obviously was fantastic in doing so. I think there was like a, hell yeah, this guy wants to help along with Fox. Lead us to somewhere we haven't been in a long, long time. Pay him accordingly.
Yeah.
And like the other thing with all of these deals here, we just got to get used to the sticker shock of these massive $250 million, $260 million, over $200 million for all of these guys. The cap is just going to continue to rise, and you got to start thinking about it as a percentage of the cap. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And look, I'm guilty too. You see some of these, you go, what? Holy crap. For LaMelo Ball, you're like, 5 years, 260? Yeah, he's young, but obviously hasn't done anything yet. That's what you sort of have to do when you get, obviously, a high draft pick who is an all-star already and looks like a very talented player. These are just going to be eye-opening numbers, but that's just the NBA market as it is. And again, the cap space goes up, and it actually gets better and better. I put that in air quotes because it's like a less percentage.
Right. And because it's difficult to remember yesterday, because we do a billion shows, I initially thought LaMelo Ball's contract. Okay, you're just paying a guy who's a really good player but on a losing team. But I do forget that they were an above 500 team his last healthy year, which wasn't that long ago, 21-22, when he did make that all-star team. They were a good team. It just feels weird to say that about a Charlotte Hornets team, but they were an above 500 team at 43-39 in 21-22. And yeah, a team that doesn't get free agents, sign that dude. And it's similar. Like the Desmond Bane move is a real Nuggets move. It's pay our guys and we'll figure it out later. The Nuggets with Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter Jr., you know, injuries held them back, you know, post bubble. Those 2 years, injuries held them back. Morant's off-court incidents have held the Grizzlies back, but this team is also a winning team. They're the second seed 2 years in a row, so they're just going to go forward. And the Sabonis move is kind of a Nuggets move too, investing in their own, which is fine. I guess the criticism is, would another team have gone in there and paid him the same amount of money? But you know, I think they're smartly doing it. They're putting it in within this year's cap number, most likely when they do sort of configure the numbers, and it just shows the locker room, hey, we're dedicated to winning, like you said about his injury. That's fine. It's totally fine, and hopefully they can grow like the Nuggets. That's what they're hoping.
Some other notable names from the NBA free agency weekend here. Max Strus is headed to Cleveland after all. Remember on Friday night, we weren't 100% sure whether that was happening, but it is a sign and trade. It was a three-team deal, but 4 years, $63 million, Strus in Cleveland. Brook Lopez, as I said, going back to Milwaukee, 2 years, $48 million. Dante DiVincenzo, 4 years, $50 million with the Knicks. The New York Wildcats, people they're calling them. Jordan Clarkson, he's staying in Utah, 3 years, $55 million. Westbrook, 2 years, $8 million to stay with the Clips. Biggest pay cut in NBA history, is that what people were saying? With Russ going from what, $47 million to about $4 million? Obi Toppin, we said, traded from the Knicks to the Pacers. EuroLeague MVP, Sasha Vezenkov, he's going to Sacramento, 3 years, $20 million. People are very high on this. This guy can really shoot the ball. And then Eric Gordon, we slipped him in here sort of late, 2 years, $6 million. He's going to Phoenix, and the Suns did a whole lot in the first couple days of trying to build out their roster. Trey, let's start with you. You know, of those notable names, which one jumps off the page to you?
All right, I think the Cavs improved on the wing. I think that Max Strus, George Niang, and Caris LeVert is better than Caris LeVert, Chetty Osmond, and Lamar Stevens.
Yep.
So, you know, probably still the weakest position for the Cavs, but they got better. I like the Pacers getting Obi Toppin. The price was right. They're going to run and gun. He fits along there. And I think the Knicks kind of botched Toppin's time there. He definitely is not a defender, but it's basically just been buried behind Julius Randle, who Tibbs seems to enjoy a little bit more. So I think it'll be nice for him to stretch his legs a little bit. I'm a Dante DiVincenzo fan. I like that he's reunited with the other Villanova guys. But the Knicks have a ton of guards right now. Yeah. I think they just spent a lot of money on another guard. Obviously, Jalen Brunson is entrenched as their point guard. They've got RJ Barrett. They've now got Dante DiVincenzo. They got Josh Hart. They got Quentin Grimes.
Quickly
is a guard as well. I guess he's probably considered a backup point guard. Evan Fournier is still around, cashing checks, throwing his hands up like, hey, I'm still around here. I don't necessarily know that the Knicks needed to do this for Dante DiVincenzo. Great for the vibes, but they need somebody else at the big positions. I think it's Randall. It's Robinson. It's Hartenstein.
Yep.
Jericho Sims is around, but I don't think he's a big part of their future. They could definitely use a little bit more wing depth. I think this is just kind of strange to me. And then I think the Suns did a really good job. They literally sorted low to high on the free agency and picked the best guys out there. So we'll see if Eric Gordon pays off, but he tried to sign a contract with the Suns back in 2012 for 4 years, $58 million, basically the Austin Reeves deal. It just took him 11 seasons to finally get to Phoenix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that they got their third most reliable guard besides Booker and Beal for nothing. I mean, for a two-year, $6 million contract. Towards the end of free agency, you know, the last, after a couple days, he's more reliable than Campaign. He could end games for this team. So that's a great signing. It's a really interesting team with them bringing back on the wings, you know, besides their big four of Book, Durant, Beal, and Ayton. They have Eric Gordon now. They have Campaign. And then their wings are Josh Okogie they brought back, Damian Lee, Utah Watanabe on a minimum deal because he's got that connection with Kevin Durant, Ish Wainwright. And then the bigs, Drew Eubanks, who will be backing up DeAndre Ayton. Could be good. He's an athletic guy. Kata Bates-Diop, an athletic guy. Shot 40% for the Spurs last year in Chimezie Metu. So all in all, I think they did pretty damn good. And I do like the Dante DiVincenzo signing. I know you even hinted at, it's too much money for Dante DiVincenzo. I know they got a lot of guards, but they also couldn't hit a three in the postseason, even with all those guards. This guy can. And I think he is getting to his potential here, and that's why the Warriors signed him. I think he was good there, but he was 40% from three in the postseason. And, yeah, they're small, but he rebounds pretty freaking big. 4.5 boards, in limited minutes per game, so he can dish it out. But I do think they got to trade a guard for a big, some way somehow. But I think if he's on the team and he's starting instead of Josh Hart, this team wins some games. I mean, they just couldn't hit a shot. I do believe in this guy that he's finally hit his stride here in the NBA.
Aren't the Knicks going to trade for Karl Anthony Towns at some point? Will that be the big name they finally go and get with that Fournier contract and maybe some of these guards because they have a lot of them? No, I don't hate the deal. I didn't mean to make a face if I did for 4 years, $50 million. It is funny that they just have all these Wildcats. Like, I really want them to get Mikal Bridges, complete the entire Villanova championship team there. Somehow get Bridges from the Nets to the Knicks. I don't think that's likely, but you might as well while you're at it, I guess. Jay Wright, he's always being linked to being a head coach in the NBA, too. Go get him. And any other thoughts on any of those guys on that board? What do you think about the Max Strus? I mean, Trey sort of said he likes it.
Yeah, baby. Give me Max Strus. I know people are questioning Max Strus and whether or not he's a really good shooter because last year during the regular season, he wasn't. That's a big question. It's a fair question. Is he a 40% shooter like he was 2 years ago, or is he below average? He was below average last year.
Yeah.
I think he'll get back to that 40% type number now that he has to do less. He was asked last year. We got to remember the Heat were a mess during the regular season last year before they turned it all around.
Yeah.
As Strus was doing way too much. Now he's going to not handle the ball all that much with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Can he be a catch-and-shoot guy? Damn right. I think he'll be great as long as they find him. As long as they find him, he will hit a lot of shots. And is he too small to play with Garland and Mitchell? I don't think so. If you can play for the Heat, which is also too small of a team, 1 through 5, and you can play defensively, I think you can play with this Cavs team. I think he'll be real good. He'll be their starter, and he'll hit plenty of shots. It seems like a lot of money, I guess. A guy going from the minimum to 16, but I think it'll be worth it.
What do you make of this rumor that the Cavs are potentially looking to trade Jared Allen, their big man in the middle there? buying that at all? Were you surprised to see that at all? You think that's a direction they could explore? What's your take?
I think it's a direction they could and probably should explore, just because when you look at the personnel on their team, you know, Mitchell's contract with the Cavs is coming to an end, so he's going to be a question mark anyways. Garland is a young star. You're going to keep him around, and Evan Mobley is kind of the future of the franchise. So if you're looking for a player who is young, who has a little bit of a track record, and who could return something in a trade, Jared Allen, is definitely the guy, especially because you look at what happened to the Cavs in the playoffs last year. They got beat by Big Ball, and they're a team that's supposed to be good at Big Ball. Yeah. So Big Ball, not necessarily in vogue in the NBA unless you happen to have one of these MVP guys. So it's kind of hard to say, yeah, we're going to go forward here with two non-shooters in the lineup. They have to be two incredible non-shooters, and I think that Mobley is, and Jared Allen is kind of on the borderline of that. So if there is a way for the Cavs to get better long-term, it may be moving him, which is why he's the guy on the block.
Yeah, but you said it there. You almost don't want to overreact to Mitchell Robinson definitely getting the best of Jared Allen in a playoff series. Like, I mean, I guess there's concern. It shouldn't have happened. But was it just this weird, you know, weird, what was that, a five-game series? Was that
yes.
six?
Yeah, yeah, they smashed them.
They destroyed them. That's true. Or do you, like, obviously continue to sort of build with the squad here that you have? He's under contract and move forward. Maybe that's why he was in these rumors suddenly. Or teams are like, geez, we'd like Jared Allen as our center, as our sort of main guy, not having to do a whole lot. It's not like you're going to give him the ball and go get us 20. Minor moves, I'm going to throw a ton at you. On the graphic, we got Mo Wagner going to the Magic, or staying in the Magic, 2 years, $16 million. Dwight Powell staying with the Mavs, 3 years, $12 million. Jalen McDaniels headed to the Raptors, Tass Mellis, 2 years, $9.3 million. Obviously was playing in Philadelphia. Derrick Rose is no longer in New York. He's with the Grizzlies, 2 years, $6.5 million. We got Oladipo traded from Miami to the Thunder. We got Monte Morris traded from the Wizards to the Pistons. And then, look, I got a million more for you. Thomas Bryant, he's going to the Heat, small deal. Ty Jerome going to the Cavaliers, small deal. Patrick Beverley to the Sixers. Dennis Smith Jr. to the Nets, along with Lonnie Walker, also to the Nets, as we said. Alex Len and the Kings, they agreed to a one-year, $3.2 million deal. Patty Mills, I believe, headed to OKC. It's been tough to keep up on where Patty's going, but I think he's in OKC. Cody Zeller, come and rescue me. He's with the Pelicans. Justin Holiday to the Nuggets. And Corey Joseph to the Warriors. That's all the minor moves, guys. We were working in the Google Doc this weekend. But yes, Tess, start with you here. Of all these sort of quote-unquote minor moves, anything intrigue you?
Well, sure. The Raptors get Jalen McDaniels. I know Raptors fans just want the silver bullet. They're just begging for the one guy that takes them to the top. That just doesn't happen all that much. So you try to work around the edges. You try and get a guy here who has a lot of promise as a 3-and-D guy. They gave him a good deal, but he has a lot of upside. The Philadelphia 76ers went and got him at the trade deadline. He played well for them. They're trying to shed contract. They're trying to figure their spot out. So Raps swoop in here. He's not the silver bullet, but that's not what happens in the NBA. I mean, I know Raptors fans are just angry. Where is our championship? Oh, man. Man, the entitlement on Raptors fans. Just one frickin' championship in 25 years, and all of a sudden we got to win the frickin' thing every year. They're a 500 team. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. And they got Jalen McDaniels, who might be good.
Well, that's the worst spot to be, though. That's the anger from Raptors fans. It's the worst spot to be. The Bulls are in the same spot. It's like you're not bad enough to get high draft picks, and you're not good enough to do anything, let alone even make the play-in tournament in the in both our teams' cases.
Yeah.
So,
but you look.
They made the play-in tournament, didn't make the actual playoffs. Excuse me.
That's yes. Right.
Yeah.
But you look at your digital ticket stub, and you might see a win tonight instead of a god awful basketball game. So, I mean, yeah. They developed players, and now are decent. I mean, yeah. Why didn't Kawhi stick around? What up with that? I mean, think about that. 1 year. Parade. Bye. That was weird. Anyway, so they're
awesome.
They're trying. That was awesome. It's a boss move.
Yeah, it was incredible. Are you kidding me? We traded for Kawhi Leonard, and what a championship. Also traded for Marc Gasol. Let's not forget that.
I'll never forget Marc Gasol.
So you like the Jalen McDaniels just addition.
It's a shot in the dark. I never was a huge Jalen McDaniels fan, but
Now he's a Raptor.
Now he's a Raptor.
Yeah, now he's going to be.
Well, I mean, it's a decent amount of money for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've obviously had him on the bulletin board for a while, and they said this guy could be another one of our guys who can't shoot, but maybe.
Yeah,
but maybe
he's got long arms.
He fits the bill perfectly. Trey, all the minor moves. What surprised you? What excited you? Anything?
Here's my three takeaways.
Okay.
I like Patrick Beverley on the 76ers. I like somebody to yell at all of their guys.
Sure.
Most notably Joel Embiid. So I think he actually helps there.
They got two of those guys now. They got Tucker and Beverley.
Respect. That's pretty funny. I'll make sure to subscribe to their podcasts. Is this the only podcast? I guess that's why the 76ers had to bring in Patrick Beverley. George Niang, a podcaster as well. He left. They're like, sorry, we got to have somebody.
He's got a podcast.
Oh, wow, I didn't know Niang had one.
I think so. I'm pretty sure he does.
Okay. Well,
yeah, very infrequent.
So you're saying control the narrative. Voice. Control the narrative. Yes. Is one of your players in their podcast. Okay.
That's nice to have a podcaster on your team. Like the Bulls had their best stretch when they had Patrick Beverley last year. He was like trash talking the Lakers. It was fun times. Yeah. So that's cool. Also, I will say I'm a minor Ty Jerome believer.
Okay. Okay.
Very minor. Very minor. So, $2.5 million for the Cavaliers. I bet he'll hit a three-pointer in the second quarter of a game at some point this season.
Cool.
And then finally, I think Mo Wagner got a new nickname. Mo Money.
Yeah.
Mm. This was a lot.
Yeah. Congratulations on being Franz Wagner's brother, I would say.
That's a payday.
That's a payday right there. That is a payday for Mo Money Wagner.
For all of
the 2 years, $16 million. He got in a fight on the bench once. Other than that,
just
I
once?
Don't really. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it may have been more than once.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had a lot of notable NBA moments.
Yeah, you look at that money, and then you look at Dwight Powell that signed for, was it four per year?
Yeah.
That's right. That's some damn good value for Dwight Powell, who might be a starter on that Mavericks team.
Oh, yeah.
He could play a decent amount. So
promising.
Yeah, quite promising.
he might start. He still might start.
Yeah, $4
million. The Mavs keep signing everybody who's over 7 feet tall, but they got to keep starting Dwight Powell. The promise is undeniable.
Yeah, Derrick Rose, there's a vet around Memphis. Monte Morris, there's a vet for the young guards in Detroit. I guess he replaces Corey Joseph. Our Canadian guy who's going to the Golden State Warriors to try and get a second ring as like the fourth guard on a team, or the fourth point guard, whatever you want to say. I think Thomas Bryant will be good with the Heat. They'll find a way to make him good. They finally got a backup center. That's pretty decent over Cody Zeller. No disrespect to him, but Thomas Bryant has more potential. And I'd say the Victor Oladipo move, man, it's over. It feels like for for Victor Oladipo, it just doesn't feel like he's going to be quite back. I mean, he had like a 26-point quarter or something ridiculous this year, but I guess he just can't put it together game to game. But you mentioned Sasha Vezenkov.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting for the Sacramento Kings.
That's nice.
That dude is the Klay Thompson of the NBA now. I mean, he doesn't – He. I know it's –
What about Klay Thompson?
The lefty Klay Thompson. How about that? He doesn't dribble.
Right.
But he shoots. Yes.
Not a playmaking guy off the dribble. No, no, no.
He was 66% from the field. He's a wing. 66% from the field in EuroLeague. That's why he was the EuroLeague MVP. Because, he just let it fly. So, people are saying, oh, he's not a playmaker. We need a playmaker. No, you don't. Let De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis make every play and pass it to that guy. He's not going to miss. So that's a good little risk for $6 million per year. It's nothing.
The biggest concern with him is how's he going to play with the NBA ball? They don't have that molten over here. He might like the grooves of that ball. He's a hell of a shooter. He is a lights out shooter. And they obviously believe in him too. I mean, that's 3 years, $20 million. Nothing to sneeze at. So they see him as a contributing player right away. They also got another Canadian, right? I guess we did talk about it. We slipped it in on Friday's podcast. Chris Duarte, I think that basically official that he will be coming to Sacramento. So
and
Trey Lyles keeping him. That's right.
Alex Len came back.
Yep.
Mm.
Running it back.
Which team, this is a little difficult, I'm putting you on the spot, which team are you surprised just like did next to nothing in free agency? Or which team come to mind? Like the Sixers. Now, a part of that, probably the James Harden of it all.
Little paralysis.
But they've done like nothing except Beverley.
Beverley, yeah. I mean...
And they traded away George Niang.
Lost Niang, lost McDaniels.
Yeah.
Bringing in Beverley. Harden is likely leaving. It ain't great in Philadelphia right now. They really haven't done much, but like you're saying, the Harden situation kind of has them just waiting to see what happens, and maybe at this point the Clippers deal is going to be the best move for them just because it could return a few players rather than just one guy for Harden.
Yeah. And I was surprised to see George Niang has hit 300 threes for them over the last 2 years. That's a lot of freaking threes. So they're going to miss... Gonna miss him.
Sounds like George Niang might be the new Klay Thompson of the NBA.
I wouldn't say that. Oh, okay. Would you say that?
Well, I don't know. He hit a lot of threes. He said 300. You know, I think of Klay, I think of Curry, but you said 2 years, so yeah. He's half of Klay Thompson. How's that? And I was going to ask, who are the biggest names left? It's not a lot. I mean, it's PJ Washington, who's restricted. It's Grant Williams, who's restricted.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you start sort of running out of names after that. It feels like those two guys might just switch teams. I don't know why.
It's definitely possible.
It's just PJ Washington goes to the Celtics and Grant Williams goes to the Hornets.
Here's some other names I'm seeing.
Else?
Mo Bamba.
Okay.
Mo Bamba.
Easy KOC.
People were talking about Mo Bamba during that Lakers-Nuggets series. He might come back for Game 4.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine? He didn't. He did not come back, and he likely is not coming back for the Lakers. Honestly, Chicago Bulls. Bamba number 5. Give him a ring. They all can use him. Honestly, for the veteran minimum, there's not a lot of great players out there. Jay Crowder.
No, he's Milwaukee.
He went back to Milwaukee. Yep. I would hope so. They traded, 5 second round picks
yes,
for
right.
him. Christian Wood, probably.
Oh, Wood.
The highest scoring guy who's left over.
That tells you everything you know, need
exactly,
to know about Christian
right.
Wood.
Yep. Saric, I guess we're still waiting on him to go to the Warriors, is what he's been linked to.
Okay. Well, I'd forgotten about Christian Wood. Wow.
Torrey Craig, did he sign anywhere?
I don't think so.
That's a guy that people talk about. Kelly Oubre, did he score 20 points
he
per game last year?
He scored 20 points per game.
He sure did.
Respect. TJ Warren, talk yourself into him. Justice Winslow, talk yourself into him.
Oh, Terrence Ross, probably.
I guess.
Now that you said TJ Warren.
To go back to Torrey Craig, the Pistons and Kings, among other teams, are interested in him.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously he could help a team. It's going to give you some minutes off the bench. It's not going to be a difference maker. But yeah, my point is, not a lot left.
Not a lot.
At all. So we'll see. We'll see where those final few names end up here. And we're only, day 4 of free agency? Yeah. If you count Friday night.
I guess it all depends on how you count it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we went through basically everything. You tell us in the stream team if we missed an important name or a signing. Sorry if we did.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Yeah, keeping it basketball related for Tweet of the Night, because I just wanted to slip this little news in. So I am going to give Tweet of the Night to Woj at ESPN. Yes, at Woj ESPN. Give it a follow. Only 6 million of you do. He tweeted over the weekend, New York Knicks guard Josh Hart has committed to the final roster spot on the 12-man Team USA, on the 12-man Team USA FIBA World Cup team this summer in the Philippines. Sources tell ESPN. He joins his Knicks teammate Jalen Brunson on the American team. So Josh Hart completes the Team USA FIBA squad, which is later in August, early September. That gets underway. The roster, you want to hear it?
Yes.
I know I've done this before, but now we have it complete. The guards, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, and Austin Reeves. The forwards, Paolo Banchero, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Bobby Portis, let's call him a forward, and Cam Johnson. And the centers, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Walker Kessler. I turn a day before July 4th to an American man, and I say, will you salute this team? Or do you poop on this team?
Well, come on, Skeets. Of course I'm 100% saluting the American gold medalists here.
Really? You think so? I don't know.
Well, I mean, look at this experience. I know what you're saying. No international experience for any of these guys.
How do they play with the molten ball? That's the real question.
Oh, you better order them off Amazon Prime right now. Get used to gripping those balls, boys. Honestly, when you read out the roster, I just hope Paolo Banchero doesn't get squeezed, because that's a guy I think could be in the running for next great American.
Okay.
Alongside Anthony Edwards. But there's just a lot of wings here. I feel like he could be valuable for them as maybe even almost a backup five playing internationally. He's got good size.
Yep.
And he's a good passer. So I hope he actually gets a pretty solid run here. I guess he was the next to last guy added. But there's going to be several games, we've talked about it before, where the U.S. isn't going to have the best player on the floor. I guess it still remains to be seen who all commits for some of the international teams as well. But they're definitely a top dog on this team right now.
Right.
So we'll see how that shakes out long term. I guess Ingram is probably the most established star on the team. He's further along in his career. He's made an all-star team. So maybe he's the go-to guy, but it definitely feels like that position is still to be seized by whoever goes out there and takes it.
Let's make the starting lineup for Team USA. What would you predict it to be in game one there in FIBA? Build it. Who's at
build
the point?
It.
Is it Brunson or is it Halliburton as your point guard to start the game? And then I'm assuming you have Anthony Edwards as your two.
Yes.
Okay. So who would you start alongside Edwards?
I would maybe go Halliburton.
Okay.
Just because of three-point shooting.
Okay.
I think he's a better shooter than Brunson, isn't he?
Okay, yeah. Let's just go.
He's over 40.
Let's go Halliburton and Edwards, and then your two forwards again: Paolo, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, Ingram, Bobby, and Cam. So Brandon Ingram starting, probably. I would think so.
Yeah, sure, probably so.
And then is it Paolo? Is it Bridges? Is it? Yeah, it's probably not Portis or Cam or Josh Hart, I wouldn't think. So it feels like it's Paolo.
Okay, maybe it could be Bridges and Ingram. Like,
okay.
Ingram is maybe more so the four,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
With the height.
And then probably Jaren Jackson Jr. starting over Walker
Kessler.
I think
he's the starter.
That sound
center.
Right there, Tass?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, let's say Bridges and Ingram, and then Jaren Jackson Jr.
A lot of defense.
There's quite a bit of defense, no doubt. But you got Edwards, obviously, as your scorer. I'll be interested to see who leads this team in scoring. Is it going to be Ingram? Is it going to be Edwards? Is there any possibility it's Paolo? I don't know. Halliburton, maybe? Eh, probably not Halliburton. More of a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Setup, man. Any thoughts on Team USA, Tessie?
Well, one guy that they will be playing against on Team Australia also signed an NBA contract. He's back, baby. Dante Exum signed with the Mavericks.
That's right.
Saw that,
right.
Yeah.
A guaranteed deal as well. Not messing around. He's back. They're going to throw him out there. to be that guy who, hey, Kyrie, Luka, you don't have to guard anybody. Exum's got him. Because he was the Harden stopper for a second in the postseason back then with Utah. So nice to see him back.
Dante back. He was the top five pick in the 2014 draft. He's only 27. Oh, he's got a birthday coming right up. 28 almost. Wasn't there another Australian that signed that came over as well?
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Is it Jack White? Yeah.
He played for the Nuggets this season, I think, right?
Oh, no, no. It's not Jack White then, I don't think. Anyway, there's another one. And then obviously Jock Landale signing his big deal there with his squad. Okay, there you go. Team USA, salute it. Love it. And let's see how they do in FIBA World Cup action. Coming up later this week, we probably won't have a podcast tomorrow unless Harden or Lillard gets moves. You know, we're not jumping on here to talk about the Chevy Trax, PJ Washington, ultimately making a decision. So probably no podcast on Tuesday. And then we fly to Vegas on Wednesday. But guess what? On Wednesday, we're dropping our Fast Friends podcast reviewing Fast X, Fast 10, Fasten Your Seatbelts, whatever you want to call that damn movie with Vin and Co. We've recorded it. We had a blast. It's 2 hours long, of course. Esh was on it, JD, Trey, myself, and Matty O back once again. So we had so much fun talking about this ridiculous movie. So our Fast X, Fast Friends coming up Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll drop that on YouTube and in your podcast feed. And then again, Saturday, coming up here, July 8th, 4 p.m. local time in Vegas. Come kick it with us at the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand. A little No Dunks / Athletic NBA Show meet and greet. Can't wait for that. We also are planning to have a podcast on the Friday night after we watch Wembanyama hopefully play in that first game at Summer League, and maybe there's some other moves to talk about, some transactions. So we'll have a couple podcasts for you this week. Like I said, Fast Friends, then probably one from Summer League later, and then we'll figure it out from there. But everyone, thanks for joining us here, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember to pack all your tank tops for Dante's Inferno this weekend. It's kind of hot there.
Embrace the day, people.